Welcome back to NALP's Young Professionals Network podcast, Growing in the Green Industry. Today's podcast is powered by our Young Professionals Network partner, Steel. Steel makes a full line of gasoline and battery-powered outdoor power equipment for the demanding landscape professional. Find yours at steelusa.com. Your host of today's episode include myself, Skyler Westergaard with Landcare, and Brett Lemke with RM Landscape. How's everybody doing today, Brett? It's good to see you.
You too. Way to go with that intro, like a pro. Nothing, you know, just seamless. Didn't mess up our sponsor's name. So you're in. That was great. Because we flipped the roles, and I get to do the bio.
I got to do the opener. So I'm getting inducted into the host realm here. So.
Yeah, hazing is almost over. Just a couple more things. Yeah. Maybe we'll have you edit the video instead of Kim doing it, and that will be the last of the things you have to do for us. Well, let's bring Savannah into this conversation. Savannah's been on the podcast, and we found out it was back in 21, but a lot has changed. We'd love to come back to some of our old guests and see what they're up to. So, but for everybody that's listening, Savannah Craven is a landscape design and horticulture professional. She received her bachelor's of science in horticulture from Brigham Young University, Idaho. While in school, Savannah was a landscape design professor, teaching assistant for 2 years. And after graduating, she spent 3 years working as a design build company as part of the design sales team for luxury residential landscapes. Currently, she is designing for Northland Design Group, an architectural firm focused on high-end residential homes, as a project designer and plant specialist, where she's been for the last couple of years. She will be soon presenting at a seminar for the UNLA's upcoming Green Industry Conference in January on design software and deliverables. Her passion is instilled by availing nature so clients can enjoy and make memories in the outdoor spaces for years to come. The outside the design world, she enjoys backpacking, a very difficult sport called pickleball. I can't stand the rules in that sport, and reading. So maybe you could explain first to us how the hell you're supposed to know all the rules in pickleball and actually hit that little ball.
Oh my gosh, it's so fun. It's so easy. You just come on to Utah, I'll give you a free lesson. Yeah,
there's a kitchen and you can't step into the kitchen. You got to jump. You got to go advance in the ball. It's just, we tried. It was a lot of fun, but just couldn't retain any of it.
I used to play tennis. So to me, pickleball is like 1,000 times easier.
Oh, all right. Perfect. That's good to know.
She teaches pickleball. So she can teach us.
Yeah, pickleball tournament at the next Elevate would be in Charlotte. I think that might be fun with them.
I have to say, I am really excited about our guest today. You read in her intro that she was a teaching assistant for an amazing professor while in college that was named Mr. Westergaard. That was me. She was my teaching assistant, and she was the best one. One of my first ones and the best one I had. So I'm excited to have her, a past student of mine and a dear friend as well, in full disclosure. So we're excited. She's doing some awesome things in her career and life, and it'll be fun for our guests to hear her story a little bit today.
Savannah, do you need to say anything nice about Skyler or no, you're good.
Well, I paid him to say that.
So. Oh, okay. Yeah, good. It worked. So good brand promotion. Well, so a lot's been going on, Savannah, some change. And so, but just catch us up on, and we talked a little bit about this. You made a change in your career. It still sounds like you're doing a little bit of the same, but what did you find different and what prompted that change?
Yeah, so I spent a couple years working for a design, build, maintain company, still as a landscape designer, but I was doing a lot of sales as well. And I was out on site a lot. And I made the transition to working for an architect firm where we really just focused on design. To me, that's where my passion is. And so I felt it was a better fit. And I felt also like the coworkers I have now are great mentors in developing and progressing my skill a little bit more so than my previous position.
Well, and to the both of you, I mean, in your past life, Skyler, I imagine you spoke to a lot of alumni that were wondering about, you know, what should I change? An opportunity presented itself. And sort of how do you, what did you grapple with that decision, and how did you weigh that? And you know, Skylar, what have you learned from, how do you help people make those changes? Because they're scary sometimes.
Yeah. Savannah, do you want to go first? And then I can comment on my conversations with people that are exploring those opportunities.
Sure. Yeah. Like with any big change, it can be stressful, you know, it can be scary. I definitely had a fair amount of, you know, stress, but to me, it got to the point where I really felt like the position I was in was not a great fit for me. And so I felt like any change at that time would be a welcome one. And it just so happened that I found this position that was really perfect for me. I still get to live in the same area, but I'm working with people that have the same mindset as me. And like I said, I just really get to develop my design skills a little bit more. So.
Yeah, I think that's good. You know, Brett, you asked me, you know, in my past life as professor, and even since then, I stay in contact with a handful of students, and they'll often, even just a few weeks ago, another one reached out and was considering a career change. And I think people just like to have a neutral party to bounce ideas off of, to brainstorm a little bit. For me, I don't know if I have like always the wisest advice. I mean, I've myself went through those changes and even recently. So I think a big thing is like the culture of the organization. Savannah, you just talked about the fit for you, right? And I think that's important. There's a lot of different cultures and styles of companies and good companies, but may not necessarily be the best fit for whatever reason. And I think that, you know, we spend so much time at work that the individuals that we work with, and it's usually a group of 3 to 5 individuals that we spend a lot of our time with. It's really important, you know, that we feel like we fit in with that group, and that we can give our best work and our best passion, you know, in that work. So there's some fear involved. And so I'll kind of usually just ask questions and help try to coach people through that a little bit and think about what they really want, you know, in their career and what that means and how to transition professionally without burning bridges, even if it's a difficult transition. So yeah, I think it's about culture, people. We spend so much time at work. It's worth doing it in a place that's mentally healthy for us. And I think that's when we can really give our best to the work.
It's an interesting perspective. I mean, I know that I've had one job my entire career, and I'm not the rule here, right? That people do change. And I don't know the statistics. Someone probably knows how many on average jobs people have over their lifetime. And sometimes, you know, those fits feel really good and change still happens. Sometimes they're not good. And, you know, we all have to be successful. We all want people to be successful in different areas. And so how do you just sort of help promote that piece? And so it's, as an employer, you know, when the best leave, right? And Savannah, no doubt you are the best, right? And so it felt probably pretty sad when you lost. It's, you know, you always try to say, well, what could I have done differently, or how could it? But in that scenario, to your point, like, it wasn't the fit, it sounds like, and there was a company, an organization that was more aligned. We've lost great people for all sorts of reasons, and it's great to follow up with them and listen to what's going on. And if there is a culture issue, or if it's just a job function, you know, and some things like that could be changed, and sometimes they can't, and like, you know, just not the organization, you know, how many people have come in this industry and have left this industry or vice versa too. So it's a reality of life. And there's a moment where it could get difficult, but it sounds like you've been doing really excited about that piece. And I'm sure everybody moves on. So it's a, you know, for those that are listeners, I think that just, and especially in your, you know, young professionals that are going to be going through this constantly, it's just, you know, follow that gut and don't worry. It'll make where you are better because you're talking about with your organization, or you're going to find a better organization that's fulfilling the job roles. So that's cool. So you're in the seat now. And I think that's a lot to talk about, you know, in different markets or different places. Up here, we're going into planning season for 2024. So a lot of landscapes are getting created and thought of as projects down the road. But so I think this is well timed to discuss the world of design, the opportunities behind it, and the technologies and pieces. So what are you most excited about these days? And maybe it's a little bit of, you could practice your upcoming seminar on us, right? Quick, here. don't give it all away, right?
Oh, no. Yeah, no. So technology is just amazing. I think there's a lot of cool things that have developed, even in the short time since I was last on this podcast. I remember I would post videos on my LinkedIn, time lapses of me hand color rendering some of my plans, which there's nothing wrong with that. I had a great time. And sometimes I still kind of do that. But one of the softwares I've learned since then is called Leonardo. An equivalent for that for Apple products would be Morpholio Trace. And it is really nice for the concept stage of design, because you can color, draw, add different texture, all with just, a pen, a computer pen. And, my computer, I have a Microsoft Surface Studio, and it just bends down into a drafting table. So it's really nice. And now I make time lapses off of my computer, and I'm still coloring, but it's electronic. So really cool. And I enjoy it a lot. That's one of my favorites right now.
And this is where we needed this podcast to be in Zoom and more interactive, because we talked about your connecting with you on LinkedIn. You showcase a lot of that there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's worth going to check out her LinkedIn just to see, if nothing else, to see some of those time lapse, both her hand rendering skills, but also this Leonardo computer stuff is really neat. Savannah, mm-hmm. you spend a good part of your work also doing planting design, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'd love you to talk about that a little bit. That planting design is kind of a more niche, unique skill set, understanding mm-hmm. horticulturally plants, looking at plant combinations and planting design from a perspective of principles and elements of design, what will do well. I'd love you just to talk about plant design and some stuff that excites you in that arena.
Yeah, no, I love planting design. It's one of my favorite parts. And my coworkers are really great. We all take part in one certain project, not just one person works on, one project. We all eventually, play a little part in it. And they always give me the part of designing the planting design, regardless of if I've done the concept or not. I'm always the planting design person, which is really fun and really cool for me, because like you said, there's a lot to consider. There's the seasonal changes. You got to think, what's going to lose their leaves? What's going to stay? What color combinations are we looking at? What irrigation is going to be needed? Different watering types. There are microclimates, depending on if there's if you're planting against the side of a house, there's textural combinations you can think about that definitely give different feels. A lot of our clients really like the classic kind of English garden, whether that's formal or more like countryside. So you just have to be really familiar with what they actually use there versus what's just in the nursery and available to you. So
what kind of resources do you use to keep yourself current and educated
on upcoming plantings?
Yeah, well, I mean, right, and trends. I mean, there's trends, and then there's just, again, English gardens have been that way for centuries, yeah. But new plants. I jokingly say there's some designers that we already know exactly what they're going to use. It's going to be a catmint, yeah. Daylily, and they're going to do another catmint and another daylily. So how do you keep yourself sharp with all that?
Yeah, it's definitely easy to kind of get in your own plant palette and not think outside of that. To stay current, I have a couple connections with people that source from different nurseries or ship things from Oregon all the time. And I work with them a lot. And oftentimes they'll tell me, hey, this is a better variety or this is a cooler variety. If not, then I will just look at, there are nurseries here in Utah that post catalogs of their shrubs and perennials and everything. And if I see one that I have never heard of. I'm like, oh, this is a new variety of salvia. That's really cool. Also, a lot of times these nurseries will hold not necessarily classes, but it's like free things that you can go to because they're trying to promote their plantings. And they'll also kind of educate you along the way of like, if you're still using this certain type of grass, we really, you know, encourage you to look into this variety for these reasons. And we supply it, you know? So if you look for it, there are ways to stay educated at the upcoming trends and new varieties of things.
Well, it stands to say that like our suppliers can be big resources in the world of design, right? So often we think them as more of the production world of it, but if to stay in the front of that, and they're just sort of boots on the ground with these plants and how they live and breathe, it's really helpful resource there.
Yeah, I think my background in more of the construction world definitely helps me stay in that mindset. I think sometimes if you're just a designer and you've only ever designed, you haven't really dealt with construction side of things, it's easy to just pick the plants you want without really being educated on what's available and if there are better options or if it's even going to like live in that spot you're putting it. So yeah, there's just a lot of different ways that you can just be aware of what you're planting and designing.
Savannah, I get asked this question all the time, and I'm sure Brett does too, but people ask me, what's your favorite plant? And I always say, how can I answer that question?
Yes.
It depends, like, what's my favorite plant right now? Because it depends, right? It depends on factors, like you said, microclimate and use and the texture and the feeling that you're trying to get. But with that being said, I'm going to push you a little bit and ask if there's are there some plants, some trees, shrubs, perennials, or something that you're kind of excited about right now that you've used recently? Stuff that like personally for you are fun.
Oh, that is a hard question. Normally,
just the ones that don't die. Just the ones that don't die is my preferred one. So you just stick with those. No.
Oh man, no. Normally, when people ask me that, I'm like, "What's the category? Tree, shrub, perennial, deciduous, you know, like I like try to narrow it way down.
What's your favorite food? What's your favorite color? Like, those are impossible questions, right?
No, it's so hard. Yeah. It's
right,
so hard.
Yeah. What season?
That being said, I mean, something that not a lot of people think about that always gets me excited and I feel like elevates any sort of plant is actually the ground cover, which are just, you know, they can be trailing plants or like clumping plants that kind of grow together. It could be moss, periwinkle, you know, creeping Jenny, that sort of stuff. I think really elevate a landscape. It's something that you put underneath a beautiful Japanese maple or in between stepping stones or something like that. So I know that's not really answering a question of a favorite plant, but I would just like to put in a little plug that you guys should remember the power of ground covers.
Well, I mean, it's to go down that design path, it's like we have to fill in bed space, reduce weeding expense and pieces, and then of course sometimes the costs of lots of shrubs, and you could get ground cover that spreads and give it some space and time. I mean, it's a fantastic alternative, and when it's successful, it's gonna really spread out and do the job, and yeah, long term, and the contrast, the colors that has come into, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I tried to leave her a little more reins there to answer that question without pinning her to a specific plant, which I agree is impossible. And, you know, Savannah, it reminds me just hearing you talk about the ground cover back to, it's been a while, but you and I trying to teach new freshman students, you as my TA, how to layer. You got to layer, vertical layering of plants. So was kind of a hard concept to teach freshman students when they're, especially when they're designing in 2D and plan view, like there's what's under this tree? What's around that? What texture are you getting? So,
yeah. Yeah. I've been fortunate in the sense of, I feel like I'm very good at visualizing 3D spaces. I can place myself there and see how the plants are going to layer themselves. So if you have that ability, then you'll be a good designer because it's a good skill to have.
So, a follow-up. Oh, sorry, Brett.
No.
Follow-up question, Savannah. Do you feel like you know, even when you were a student, that you kind of had that ability pretty naturally, or do you feel like that's something that you've had to work on strengthening over time in your career? That ability to just visualize it before it becomes a reality.
That's a great question. I didn't know I had that skill. I think to answer that, I definitely believe it was a natural skill that I've always had. That being said, I didn't always know I was going to be a landscape designer. I know it probably looks that way because that's what I went to school for and that's what I've been doing ever since. But I actually went to hair school in high school before I even went to college. And I went to college just for fun. I didn't actually think I was going to finish. And obviously, I found landscape design. I was really passionate about it and I took that route instead. But to be a hairstylist, you kind of have to have a little bit of 3D awareness of like what's happening if you're doing like haircuts or whatnot. So it's a different art form for sure. And I never found myself or never thought of myself as very artistic, but it's just a different type of art form, being able to think in kind of a 3D space. And so in school, I realized that that kind of mindset really helped. When I was doing plan view plans, I could see it in my head, like I was standing there.
The technology out now is being able to put that in paper or computer quicker, and even allowing ourselves to just draw, design with that versus do the plan view, then create it into perspectives or elevations and pieces there. So it just moves so much faster. And I think our clients, especially when the investments are significant, like they it's a necessary part of it. I see the modeling and the levels of detail of designs just improving quickly because it's what's closing sales a lot faster.
Yeah, on that note, I don't know if you guys have heard of the program called Revit. It is pretty cool. It's kind of like CAD, but it has kind of instantaneous 3D rendering capabilities. So if you draw something in plan view, you can instantly see what that's looking like in a 3D modeling space, which really helps when you're grading or if you're trying to determine heights of walls or anything like that. The other cool thing it can do is it can instantly cut section details. So if you want to see what the perspective is of, a lowered patio with like a water wall or something, you can cut that instantly and see what that's doing. So that's another cool software that I'll just throw in there.
I just looked that one up. That one looks like you need to read the tutorials quite a bit. That one does not look
It's
pretty
not as
natural.
easy to learn as Leonardo. Leonardo is super easy. Revit's like learning CAD again. So.
Yeah, those programs I would tell students when I was teaching CAD, it's like we're gonna learn how to fly a commercial airliner. This is like being in the cockpit of a commercial airliner, and there's so many buttons and buttons behind buttons. So we're just gonna learn where the throttle is first and how to adjust the flaps, and we'll get more detail from there. But some really powerful software, yeah.
It's a part of it. My curiosity too, and a small part of my career was in the design space, and then moved into obviously the management of the business. But I always loved that part of it. But we all start with the fundamentals of design, right? It's taught, it's in a textbook, and we have that. And I think that's always transferred our entire career. But I mean, Savannah, what have you learned since leaving school? And what, I guess, what does the world teach us about design versus what we all learn at school? And because again, I want to spark the curiosity for our listeners is that even if you know it all or the fundamental design, vistas and views and blah, 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 right? Like there's more to learn out there.
Oh, absolutely. That's right. I've been using CAD, almost every day for the last 5 years, and there will still be moments that I learn a new thing or I accidentally come across a new like keyboard command and I'm like, "Oh my gosh, that saves me so much time." So absolutely, there's always new things to be learning, as far as softwares go. As well as just life experience. I feel like school, and particularly my education taught me a lot. It definitely set me up to be successful, taught me a lot, and prepared me for my roles. But I will say, like, my internships and of course my first couple jobs were instrumental in just kind of speed. What am I trying to say? Instrumentally, way quicker. I learned so much in a much shorter time frame of what kind of actually goes on in the real world. So I don't say that to you know, make prospecting students, you know, afraid of like getting out of school. You should be excited, but it is like, it's a lot different and it's a lot more fun, and you'll learn a ton that the school environment is just not able to teach you at, you know, as well as real life clients and like real life problems that arise that you'll just kind of have to like think on your feet. And the cool thing is that each time you go through something like that, you come out on the other side, you know, more educated for the next time, you know, so you can look back and be like, oh, that sort of situation would have really scared me. I wouldn't have known what to do. But now it's not a big deal. Like I can figure this out, or I've seen this before and this is how, you know, I can fix this, or, you know, this is a better way to speak and like talk to my clients, you know, in a better way, you know? So I don't know if that makes sense. There's always ways to grow and learn. And I'm sure there's tons more ahead for me.
You know, it's fun to listen to you talk about that and to have seen your abilities and confidence grow over time. In my role that I'm at right now, I've spent a good deal of my time training and coaching our new employees at Landcare, new young recent college graduates is part of what I do. And you know, sometimes it can be a little frustrating when they want to be really, really good and confident, but they just, you know, it takes some time to get the experience. And I remember I was talking to one of our employees, great employee, and talking about irrigation, and she was needing to do some irrigation proposals, but didn't really have a lot of experience in irrigation. And I just told her, you know, just be patient with yourself. It takes time to like earn that confidence. And it sounds like, you know, since graduating college, you had a foundation, but then that life experience dealing with the real clients, real projects, real problems, real construction crews, right, is part of the growth of a professional.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Applying the theory into practice and to be able to, you know, what we created, I think, in classrooms had relevancy and builds off of that. But when you build it to actually live in it, you know, you learn the nuances of what it means to really live in it and into a budget, into a timeline. And so, yeah, I agree. I think time and experience and then opening yourself up to, you know, I think what the path you've gone, Savannah, is just to be mindful to the ideas that are different and creative and are out there. Learn how to build and experience that part to opens the horizon to just what we create. So, you know, if you're an organization out there that's just doing front foundation plantings for the landscapes, but how do you create, you know, and do something that's different or that could really just get something more creative space? I mean, design world is to be creative. You know, I think not everybody's here to just do production design. So like, how do you really put some different elements to it? But experience is a big part.
One experience I had recently that I did want to touch on a little bit was I had the opportunity through my current work is they sent me to Europe, anywhere I wanted to go, to just kind of get inspired, to see the architecture there, to just be a part of the environment. Because like I said, a lot of our clients go to Europe and they want a piece of that in their home. And pictures really only tell you so much. I really thought, like I had mentioned, like the English plantings or the English style of, you know, yards or whatever. I thought I knew that pretty well. England was one of the places I went to, and it has absolutely opened my mind to the new, I don't know, just the experiences out there that I just wasn't quite fully aware of before. And so now it's like another degree of confidence that I can have discussing with my clients of like, oh, I've been there. I know exactly what you're talking about. Such a beautiful place. This is the type of like stone they use. This is how we can create that. You know, they do this because of this, you know, here's a little bit of the history, just things like that, that are super inspiring. And it's definitely made me want to travel a lot more all throughout Europe so I can kind of envelop that knowledge and apply it to my designs.
I was glad that you brought that up, Savannah. I remember in graduate school and working on my landscape architecture degree that travel was pushed a lot. And matter of fact, my alma mater requires travel and international travel as part of the getting your master's degree in landscape architecture. And My professors were always talking about how powerful and important it was for, you know, the best designers to expose themselves, you know, to the work of past masters, whether that be Capability Brown or Humphrey Repton or the Medicis in Italy or whatever. And so you got the opportunity to see that. And it's fun just to see the energy that you came back with a couple weeks ago, having seen those landscapes in pictures, in textbooks, in classes, but to be in that space and to be inspired by that space. And not everybody has the resources to go to Europe, but I would say, and you can share your thoughts, just get out of your comfort zone, get out of your box, go to a different garden, travel to another state, just something to expose as a designer, especially you're trying to be creative and be inspired by others' work too. So,
Skylar, then where, give us, we'll throw it right back at him, Savannah. What's your favorite place to go, and be inspired, and to put you on the spot? What have you seen out there that we all should go see?
Are you asking me, Brett?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I love, Japanese gardens. I can't even tell you why, but there's something about being in a Japanese garden. It's therapeutic. It's almost religious. Anytime I have a chance to go to a Japanese garden, I do it. I'm actually building a Japanese garden in my backyard. I have no connection to Japan or Japanese culture. My ancestors are from Scandinavia and Denmark, but I just love Japanese gardens. So I always feel inspired. I feel cleansed. I feel uplifted. In Japanese gardens. I also have been able to travel to Mexico City and see some works of that style of architecture and landscape architecture, which is inspiring. And I have a goal. I haven't done it yet, but I have a goal to travel to Japan and see some of the imperial gardens in Kyoto. And Savannah is actually possibly going to be going to Japan this next year. That might be one of her next trips too. So I'm jealous and happy for her.
Yeah, I'm the guinea pig. I'll tell you all the good places to go.
Savannah's parents speak Japanese, so I'm just going to go like a white guy with no Japanese and see what happens.
Yeah, you'll be the tourist. They'll pick you out of the crowd really, really fast. You know, I enjoyed Longwood Gardens as the curated mm-hmm. space, and then I think Getty Center when that was just piece. And but then, I think to the point of get out there and do internships, work for other organizations, you would go, even just simple job walkthroughs on new properties. You're like, wow, I've always wanted to see the gardens at this home or commercial space. I did an internship in Nantucket, and we would get to tuck in and out of homes, and just the creativity they would do on coastal homes is just really exciting. So it can be, it could be the billionaires, the DuPont's backyard kind of stuff, or it could be somebody in your neighborhood that's just doing some really cool things. It's everywhere there is creativity, especially if you have a design mind. You could see it every place, and you could see it badly, right? We always point out, that's awful. Or two, like, that's inspiring. So always keeping your brain, even when you're on a long expressway driving by boring roads, it's like, well, you know, look at that mountain range, or look at... that farm field, that's something, right?
Design my farm mom field. My mom thought I was kind of silly. She came with me to Europe, and I would stop along the road and just take pictures of random columns, or even like take pictures of the ground if there was like cool cobble paving pattern or something, and just random pictures that I think normal people just kind of like walk by. But I feel like, you know, people that have that design eye or that mindset, if you're looking for it, you really can find it in any place you go.
And I think there's two folds. There's those that design and those that build. And so know your space, I think, too, and just always good partnering, right? So we've probably all met people that just don't have that creative spirit at all. And so and that's okay, right? And they can build, and they could see how to construct and build. And so it's don't fake it. You know, everyone can try and do it. Things that we've got people in our own teams like, okay, an enhancement job needs to come up. And they're like, well, let's just put in, again, another catmint. And it's like, let's try to get a little creative here, folks. Let's just see the something beyond just the catmint in that island.
One thing that my boss, one phrase that sticks with me that we, implement in our coworker group we use the term stop and twist. If there's something that's not quite working, or if, again, we're going down the same path we've gone 100 times, catmint, daylily, you know, whatever, we can kind of call each other out on it and be like, hey, maybe on this area, we stop and twist. And we know what that means. That just means, in a really kind way, maybe let's put the brakes on a little bit, because sometimes we get ahead of ourselves, put the brakes on a little bit, and just twist your mindsets. Just think about this differently. Kind of almost, you can, you know, scratch the whole idea, try to start over. It just invites more creativity, I feel like, you know, in a safe and kind way, especially when you're working together on projects that you're all really passionate about and you want to you know, turn out, you know, the best that it can be. It's just a really great phrase that's stuck with me for a while.
Like that. Stop and twist. I wrote that down on my notes here. Stop and twist. That's, you can almost apply that to any aspect of life. Just stop and just take a breath, twist around, look at just, it from a different perspective.
It creativity flows through work process, through leadership development, through it's going to be in the accounting of what we do, is like, let's just really think about this a little bit. So I think that lines up with that be curious, always be curious kind of space, and be adaptive. So it's the design fundamentals work great in life in many different ways. And then we expect the Savannah, your backyard, to look really damn cool too. So that it goes functional and philosophical. Well, I think we've made it to the end, and I think to get the mental picture, we would say, go to Savannah's LinkedIn page, friender, right? You're going to get millions of followers based on all our listeners here, I'm certain. And just to see that creative space, and it just inspires a lot of fun there.
And come see me at the UNLA Green Conference coming up, because I'll be talking about design softwares and deliverables to clients. So if you want to hear more and you're in Utah, you should go to that anyways, but I will be one of the speakers.
Yeah, if you're in the West, Utah, Wyoming, Idaho, Montana, or whatever, go meet Savannah in person. I'm sure she would love to say hi to you and get to know you and see some of what she's got going on.
So as we kind of
start to wrap up here, is there anything that you haven't shared that you'd like to just share with this audience that we have about, you know, career success and creativity and design or anything like that?
I would just like to say, and this is the TA in me kind of coming out, if there's anyone that is looking for advice or just, you know, someone to bounce ideas off of, I'm really approachable and I really like to help people out and give my honest feedback on this sort of career and the setbacks you can, like, you know, maybe expect or, you know, look into. So I don't know if anyone needs to reach out to someone, I'm super open to that.
I have a design that needs to be rendered. Could you just do my homework for me? That would be.
She can do it, but.
I'll email it to you. Yeah. Now that she's a professional, everything comes with a fee, right?
Yeah. So, what I was just going to say. She can definitely do it, but she has a design fee for that. So.
As you should.
I'm glad you shared that, Savannah. It's good for people to know that there's others that they can reach out to connect with and. I want to be careful here, but I think even especially like women in our industry too, to connect with other strong women. So thanks for that offering. So go find her on LinkedIn.
So Rose and Thorn, we made it here. What's been going well? What's been going a little annoying? Savannah, anything? What's your Rose and Thorn? You remember doing this from the last time. I'm certain you remembered it. You've been getting excited about this moment, but...
Okay, so a thing that's been going well and a thing that hasn't been going so well in my work life.
Well, work, fun, anything. Last week or last year, you know, broader strokes, anything you like.
Goodness. Okay, one rose. This was really awesome. It rained a lot last night and this morning. I have a yard full of huge trees, about 2 tons of leaves all over my yard, and I was just not going to be able to get it all done. Called in some of my buddies to help me, and like 10 people showed up, yesterday, and we got it all done and bagged up, and it was so kind of them to help me out with that. That's a definite rose for life, and I guess we can apply it to landscaping maintenance, I guess, a little bit, and my procrastination that kind of backfired a little bit. But that was definitely a rose because it rained and I don't have to worry about it because there's no leaves on my yard anywhere, so that's great.
Perfect. Perfect. Thorn.
Oh gosh, thorn.
Sometimes you don't have to have one, but if you have
one. No, it's good. Thorn, and this is totally of my own doing. I just feel so busy. And I know, and that's not even like a braggy thing, because to me, being busy is not good because sometimes it's not always productive. But I am just so, so busy, mostly with, you know, designing, but I think I could definitely, you know, take a few steps back sometimes and maybe I should have a Japanese garden in my backyard or something. I can, you know, have a little Zen moment now and again.
How about you, Skylar?
Yeah. I'd love to come and team up with you to make a Japanese garden in your backyard. Someday mm-hmm. I'll get mine finished. For me, you know, a rose, it's been a really hot, humid summer here in Dallas, and I'm not from the South or from the Texas, you know, South humid, hot area. I grew up in a little bit north up near where Savannah is. So these hot, humid summers of they take your toll on you, but, so the roses is cooled off here. We actually got quite a bit of rain the past, couple days. So it's been nice that it's cooled off a little bit here, in Dallas. The thorn is, fire ants. I've been bit by so many fire ants, so those of you that know they're in the part of the country that battles fire ants, you'll know what I'm talking about. And typically after good rains, all the fire ant mounds I've noticed will come out. And they are some little powerful little stinkers, let me tell you. So they bite fast and they swarm you. So I got fire ant bites on my feet.
Upstate New York, no fire ants.
I'm telling you, no fire ants in Utah.
Yeah. We don't get the sunlight for most of the year, but we get, we don't have fire ants.
I'll send you a jar.
Oh yeah. They'll fall out and I wonder where they are. I'll share that, as a rose, been in doing some, traveling and a lot of that, has been for, work related pieces, peer groups, education events. And, the value of that is you get out of your normal shell and day to day, you get to network and learn, in the most recent ones, my peer groups, it's accountability space. And so often in my role in leading the company, you don't have to really report to many people. I just have to most often explain to my father why I want to do something here. To be able to be accountable to somebody and a group of folks to say, you know, hey, Brett, you should be really working on this. Very valuable. And so if you don't have that network, regardless of the role you're in, people that challenge you, then you'll never change. And so they shared with me some pretty honest feedback and some things I just haven't heard in a bit. And so, or I recognize, but they just put in a context that made me start working on it. So that feels good. The thorn of that time was away from family and away from the office. And now you're just playing a little catch up. And so busy is the right word, Savannah. It's always busy. But we've got a lot of fun ahead of us here too. So, well, thank you, Savannah. I think.
Yeah, thanks, Savannah, for being with us today and sharing more of your story. It's great to catch up from a few years ago when you were, you're 3 years along in your career now, so it's good to catch up. Some of our listeners may have listened to your first podcast, which we just replayed a few weeks ago. So here is the updated version of where Savannah's at. Thanks for being in the green industry and being on our podcast. Also, big thanks to our listeners out there. We invite you always to subscribe to the podcast and to leave us a review. Let us know what you think and how you're enjoying our conversations. Take care, everybody.
Yeah, take care.